start off, we're going to read in Danny's book. It's called Daniel. And we've been preaching about Daniel. And so we're going to look at Daniel chapter 7. We've got two verses there that we want to look at. And then over in Jeremiah chapter 29, we'll be reading from there. But if you'll follow along here, this is Daniel chapter 7. This is the NIV version, verses 13 and 14. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. That's two beautiful verses there. And then over in Jeremiah chapter 29, you can follow on the screen, beginning with verse 4. It's a few verses here, so just follow along because it's important for us to read these this morning for our message. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all of those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. One more verse. I will be found of you, or by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Title of my message this morning is Staying on Mission. Staying on Mission. Our message centers on us as believers staying on mission, which is simply keeping God's purpose front and center in our lives. Yet again, understand that living this way is counter to our present culture. This morning, for those who have been around for a while, like Brother Gary and Brother Charlie, and I know I'll include Brother North. He's not here to defend himself. But, you know, for those that's been around quite a while, let me ask you something. Can you remember some famous brands and companies for a moment with me who you thought would be there forever but have now disappeared? Some happen to be our favorite stores, and they're now gone, and they're not coming back. No one would have ever, no one who ever went to a Blockbuster on a cold, rainy Friday night to rent a half a dozen movies to keep you through the weekend at one of their 10,000 stores would have thought then that by 2014, most all of those carpet-owned stores would be closed, those video stores. Now, mind you, we didn't go to movie theaters but we knew where the closest Blockbuster was at, you know. There also used to be Walden Books, which became Borders in just about every mall in America. And as of 2011, guess what? They are all gone. There used to be a huge warehouse type store where a kid could be a kid. It's Toys R Us. It finally gave up and died in 2018. Oldsmobile, which died at the ripe old age of 106 in 2004, was one of the America's oldest car brands and is no more. Pontiacs are gone as of 2009. I haven't seen a Sizzler Steakhouse in years, yet they may still be in existence. You remember the big cow up on top of the building? And yes, there are about two or three ponchos left. I know that because I've hunted them out. You've got to understand, we raised our kids on ponchos. Now, just know my grandchildren could not believe you had to raise a little flag to get the waitress's attention. I could not get them to like ponchos. They missed out, didn't they? They missed out. I read where there were only three Kmarts left, I think, in the country or the nation somewhere. Circuit City had about 550 stores at one point, but they closed down in 2008. Do you remember Jell-O Pudding Pops? They haven't been around since 2004. Some of you may have worn Bugle Boy jeans as a kid, or you may have bought them for your boys, yet I understand they were gone as of 2001. How about Minolta, Mervyn's, Crystal Pepsi, Kenny Shoes, and so many other companies and products you assume are out there, but they're out there, they're no longer there. And the reason then for these companies and brands not being around, they're various. For some, it was mismanagement. Others, it was downturn in the economy. New technology took over. Failure to adapt. Rival companies did it better. And yes, some of them lost sight of their mission and purpose, and they are gone as the result. We live in a land today where God is not the priority in politics, in dating or marriage, in moral values, work ethics, entertainment, education, family, or even worldview. Just about everything then in our culture, as we are seeing, is designed to pull us away from God. We do not live in a nation rooted in biblical values anymore, but rather we live in Babylon. Babylon was a real place in the Bible. But in the Bible, it also became a symbol for a culture that marches away from God and away from His way of living. We focus now for the last few Sundays on the life of certain believers in God who were forced to live in Babylon and from whom we're able to draw important principles for our own lives. We discovered that Babylon for us is pressing us with clutter and complexity and fast-paced life, and the only way to be a determined and strong disciple of Jesus then is to make Him the center of our lives. We must have a mindset that we stand our ground with God and be assured that He is right, because He is right all the time, and He's always faithful. And so we also need to be effective and faithful, and we must trust in Him and in His ways. How many know His ways are better? Our culture drives us then to be all about ourselves, to be self-centered and to prize entertainment and not worry about distractions. And as a result then, investing in our faith, investing in our church and in relationships is a wise use of our time and effort, because understand, it helps us sharpen our identities in Christ and then be able to serve others. So before we look into our text, I want to share with you a little bit about our culture and how it relates to the body of Christ called the church. Again, we live in Babylon where faith in Jesus is not a serious thing. Sadly, for many so-called Christians who live in Babylon, commitment and the desire to live as a disciple of Jesus becomes less and less appealing by the day. Worship seems to be less important. Bible and prayer has come to be less important. Bible studies, children's and youth events, and special prayer times and worship times are sparsely attended. And in their places now is sports, planned family events, school, jobs, entertainment of all kinds that take priority over faith. That is just the culture that we live in. You've got to understand that. So we can easily see, can't we, how the church really is in danger of not being on mission and losing sight of its purpose. So what message then does the Bible have for us when it comes to a culture that seems to be shrinking the influence of the church? What does a strong and faithful disciple look like in our day? What should we believe and do when faith becomes less and less important in our society and maybe even less and less important in our own families? How do we stay on mission and then keep the purpose of the Christian faith in front of us? Our scripture text here in Daniel chapter 7 is what can guide us. And in our passage in Jeremiah 29 written to the people there in the Babylonian exile, we're going to find is also important for us. First, there's Daniel chapter 7. Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Daniel, it can be divided into two parts. Chapters 1 through 6 gives us seasons in Daniel's life as he lives in Babylon. And then chapters 7 through 12 gives us prophecies and visions that Daniel received as he served the Lord. Our message today centers on staying on mission and keeping the purpose up front and center in our lives. Again, living this way is counter to our culture. In our two verses, Daniel tells us about his vision. It's an important vision. And in this vision and prophecy, we are introduced to an important figure. This hero then is given the name Son of Man. And he's given dominion over a kingdom that has no boundaries and that includes people from all over the world down through the ages, including us in this present kingdom. And this kingdom is given to us by the Ancient of Days, is given by the Ancient of Days to the Son of Man, and it's to last forever and ever. Now, you might read that and not know what Daniel is writing about. Daniel is writing about Jesus Christ. And the title Ancient of Days is one of Daniel's favorite titles for God. He's highlighting that God is the beginning of all days and the beginning of everything. And then the Son of Man is Jesus' favorite title for himself in all four Gospels and in the book of Revelations. Again, what we have in Daniel 7 is a prediction and a description of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, having a kingdom that has no boundaries and it's going to last forever. A kingdom that is contrary then to what this world offers. The world and the culture around us offers one thing, and it demands one thing. And the will of God and the life that He has for us so much is so much the very opposite. Jesus told us in John 18:36 that His kingdom is not of this world. And so this morning, if you consider yourself a believer, then you are part of a spiritual kingdom that is set against the culture in which we live. And it seems it's becoming increasingly more difficult to be a Christian and maintain a mission and purpose and faith in Jesus Christ. To live as God's people, to follow the Son of Man in His kingdom. and to stay on mission with Jesus means that you have to choose. You have to choose. Just going along to get along with a culture is not going to cut it. The conditions of our culture demand that we choose each and every day. We have to choose whom we're going to serve. In our homes, we are choosing when we watch it ourselves or allow our families to watch R-rated movies or movies and TV shows with homosexual themes and sexual innuendos and vulgar language. That's just part of the culture we live in. You're choosing if you allow music heavy with cursing and anti-police rhetoric in your home. You choose if you're going to pray as a family over meals at a restaurant. You choose if you allow your teenagers to work on Sunday mornings or stay home on Wednesday nights and not attend youth classes. You know, sadly, I heard that a form of punishment that some parents have done is not as a punishment for their disobedience is they would not let them go to youth class or Bible study on Wednesday nights or whenever it was. Now, I'm telling you, that's not the right way. There's plenty of ways to correct your children and discipline for whatever actions they've done, but it's not to keep them away from the house of God. That didn't cost you anything, okay? You're choosing if you will allow your children and your grandchildren the choice to come to church or not. You're the one choosing that. You choose what mimes you might share on Facebook and Twitter and what you complain about. And I would strongly urge you to choose carefully. You choose if you'll spend time in the Bible. You choose if you'll spend time daily in prayer. And please understand me that you and I have a choice to make then to be on mission and be countercultural to what we see around us. Can you say amen? Amen. Being a follower of Jesus Christ is not a one-time initial decision. It's a lifestyle, and it's a daily choice then to follow Him above what poison our culture peddles in our lives. By what then that we've just heard, what decisions then do we need to make? What changes do we need to make? We can think about that today. Our message again today centers on staying on mission and keeping the purpose in front and center of our lives. And living this way is counter to our culture. You've got to understand that. Because Daniel chapter 7 shows us that we belong then to a kingdom that is not of this world, but it's one that is spiritual and boundless and lasts forever. Daniel is not the only person living faithfully in exile. Jeremiah happened to be was a man that saw the exile to Babylon coming from for the people of God, but no one listened to him. He saw it coming. He saw it happen, and he lamented over the destruction of the people of God. He writes about this in the book of Jeremiah and in the Book of Lamentations. And Jeremiah wanted the people of God to stay on mission, but they would not do it. Jeremiah has much to say to us, and so he writes encouraging words to the people of God on how to stay on mission and keep God at the forefront of their lives as they live in exile in Babylon. Jeremiah is writing to people who have lost many things in their lives. So how should they live? How do they maintain their faith in this new land? And they're literally asking, what should we believe? What should we do? What should we be? Who should we be? Everything in their culture is a strong current pulling them away from God. And verses 4 through 7 commands us not to quit, but rather to step forward in life and be faithful. Jeremiah encouraged them to live their lives as normal as can be. And understand with me that life for us as believers, watch this now, does not stop because our culture is different. Or that we have a disastrous setback. Or there is a law that's passed that curbs our faith that should not hinder us. We're to build our houses, have our gardens, and raise our children. We're not to hold up in some desert hideaway waiting for the world to end and Jesus to come back and save us. We're to stand up for what's right and be a city set on a hill right where we are planted. And when those moments arrive, and they will come, we are to speak up as Joshua and Caleb did and determine that we will fight our battles and that we will be victorious. When 10 others beside you are speaking negative and saying that we can't win, remember as believers, we know we will win because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. All of the normal things of life need to go on faithfully before the Lord. No matter where we are or no matter what is going on in the culture around us, we are to go on being salt and light in a dark, perverse, chaotic world. Jeremiah tells the people of God to make the best of their situation all the while they are faithful to God. They were to build their lives and tend to their families and even to speak well-being and peace of the place where they lived. When the city prospers, they will prosper. And we're to pray for our city and its leaders to make godly decisions. And then verses 8 through 14 commands us to be careful to whom we listen when it comes to spiritual matters. And the reason for this is in Jeremiah 29, it has to do with false prophets that were advising the people of God. They were telling them not to put down roots because the current situation would soon be over. Jeremiah proclaims exactly the opposite message by stating that the exile would be long. We know it was a minimum of 70 years. And these verses share with us that the culture they lived in, and by extension the culture then that we now live in today, is not going to get back to normal as the way things were. Things are going to get worse, not better, when it comes to our culture. Yet in the midst of a world in conflict, or chaos and a culture that is drawing us away from God, and at what seems like at breakneck speed, we have promises from God that we can hold on to. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In verse 11, God promises peace, prosperity, and welfare, even if life is difficult and living faithfully rubs against the grain of the culture. Jeremiah communicates then to the exiles that yes, our help, our well-being, our provision comes from the Lord when we abide in Him and live the way then that He wants us to live. You've got to understand, you've got to be on mission and faithful to God, listening and obeying His word for those showers of blessings to come down. Are we going to fall sometimes? Sure. Are we going to mess up sometimes? Sure. But guess what? We don't stay down. We get back up and brush ourselves off and go on to fight another day, to be victorious another day. In verse 12, God promises that when we pray to Him, He hears us. And that's a wonderful promise. Our God is ever present to help us as we live counter to this culture for Christ. He's not left us alone. God never leaves His people alone. He always has a way out for us, and He has a plan for our deliverance. And as true followers then of Jesus Christ in today's culture, remember that we have the Holy Spirit within us. And He's always then by our side in the easy times and in the difficult times. Verse 13, God promises that when we seek Him, we're going to find Him. He promises to be faithful, and He keeps His promise for those who have been faithful to Him. Listen, the people of God here in the book of Daniel are in a different culture. And I can imagine that there were times when many of them did not know what to choose or who to be or what to believe. They were not all like Daniel or as strong as Daniel's three Hebrew friends. Yet God loved every one of them and says that when we seek Him, we're going to find Him. When we look for His way, He will be there and be found. Again, our two verses from last week, Psalm 37 and 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In other words, He will see to it you are successful in your endeavors. Proverbs 16 and 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established or prosperous. If you consider yourself then a true Spirit-filled believer in Jesus Christ, you're part of a spiritual kingdom that is set against the culture in which we live. And yes, it's becoming increasingly difficult to be a believer and maintain mission and purpose and faith in Christ. So then to live as God's people, we need then to commit ourselves and be determined to living an everyday life for God. Jeremiah mentions the simple everyday things of life that need to be dedicated to God. And we need to abide in Him continually if we're going to stay on mission and survive and thrive in this culture. In everyday life, make prayer a mission. In everyday life, commit to being faithful and holy. Watch this, in your attitudes and in your work ethics. Why? Because people are watching you. Renew your mind daily through God's Word. Talk to the Lord every day. In every day, seek the fruit of the Spirit. In everyday life, put others before yourself. Serve them. In everyday life, do what is right, even if it hurts. In everyday life, believe and know that our God is working for our good. You may not see that where He's working, but Job talks about He's back there. He's working on my behalf. And when He's through, I'm going to come out pure as gold and silver. In everyday life, listen, you and I must abide in Jesus and make Him the center of our lives. Or, yes, our culture is going to sweep us away from God. So we have to choose. We must choose each and every day to serve the Lord. I want to mention one last encouragement and I'm through. Jesus Christ absolutely knew that His followers would be living in situations that were not favorable to their faith. He knew that the message of the gospel might be seen as closed-minded or judgmental or misused or misquoted. He knew all of that, and yet He commanded us to stay on mission for Him no matter what is going on around us. We must live counter-culturally for Christ. Well, what was the mission then that He gave us? We know where that's at in Matthew at the end of His book. But here's Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, that doesn't mean you go out there and test your faith by finding a poisonous snake and picking it up. You don't tempt the Lord. You know what? I read a story this week of a pastor. Now, Brother Gary, Sister Cherry, Amber. He says, all of you that's on the board, I want to test your faith to see if you are going to, if you're to be on this, continue to be on this board. And so he brought the poison out. He said, now, if you have faith and you drink this and just know God's going to take care of you. Well, they found out some of them didn't have enough faith. And ended up, he got charged for second-degree murder. We're not going to try that. Don't worry, Brother Gary. We're not going to do that. Don't go picking up no snakes, okay? Where's Gage? Gage's got to be careful. No, Brother Galen's taught him right. He picks up every evil thing in the grass. No, not really. I'm playing. All them things coming out of that sand, you can imagine. I can just see Thea's face. She probably grabbed it.
Oh, only one.
Okay. All right. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he tells the disciples, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I love to tell this story about my mom. She never got behind a pulpit, but she had a neighbor that when they lived up in Haltom City, and sadly the neighbor had encountered legalistic Christians. They happened to go to a particular church, and the pastor got up and said, well, I can tell we got visitors today. He says, there's cigarette butts out on the front steps and red fingernail polish in the church. Now, how sad is that? They're not in existence today. And so she had her feel of that. And so, but you know what my mom did? My mom befriended her. She would make, anybody remember the pawn of cornbread? Pong of cornbread. Crusty cornbread. Oh, she could make it. And she'd go and hand it to her over the fence. She befriended that sweet lady, Mrs. Moore. And I'm telling you, to her dying day, she loved Mom, and she knew what Mom stood for. And Mom was able to pray with her, and it just a beautiful relationship there of knowing. But that's the way Mom ministered, in doing it. She did that to so many. We need the Holy Ghost power at work in our lives. So we have now focused then on our culture that is drifting further and further away from God, and it presses us to walk away from our faith on a daily basis. And again, it all comes down to you and I choosing what or whom we will serve. Determine today as we end, determine that you will choose to serve the Lord with all of your heart and not the culture around you. If you don't, it won't just be Blockbuster or Toys R Us or Mervyn's and all those other companies and products that have disappeared. It will be your faith that went belly up and cannot be found anymore. I read Mark 16 and 15 moments ago, and it says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. The word gospel in that verse is a special word. It means good news. The good news is that God knew the sinfulness of the world and how the emptiness of the world would leave us feeling broken and alone. And so he left his throne in heaven. He came to earth, wrapped himself up in flesh. He was tempted in every way, but he yet did not sin. He suffered and he died to save us and to graciously give us life and purpose through his death, burial, and resurrection. The least that we can do is return, in return is determined. Is determined that we will choose Jesus and his way of life today. He paid the price for us. And all he's asking us to do is believe in him and make him the center of our lives. And plus, we know, if you've been around church long enough, you know he's given us every tool that we need to complete his purpose. And he's given us every weapon that we need to fight the enemy. Choose life. Choose to walk away from the self-centered entitlement of the world. And choose a path that leads us to joy and peace and forgiveness and God-given purpose. And I've mentioned this before, and that is, I don't believe God is through with America. As we live our lives, let's pray for our nation. How many know our nation needs revival? Yes. There certainly will be God's judgment that will come upon the earth. But until God says it's over, we can live our lives in faith and in strength and boldness, knowing that we're protected and that we're provided for, and he promises to be with us through the fire and through the flood that comes into our lives. We have nothing to fear. And let me say this in closing, don't you dare open the door to a spirit of despair. Our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. And he promises that he will see us through to the end. In his very own words, he tells us, those who endure to the end shall be saved. I want my heart centered on him. Amen? Let's all stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your presence today. I thank you for what you've done in this house today already. Moving of your spirit, speaking to us now through your word. I thank you for that. Lord, as we go from this house today, Lord, touch our hearts. Show us what we need to correct. Any clutter that we might still have in our lives, Lord, show us how to get rid of it, clean it out. Lord, touch our minds. Help us to have a renewed mindset, oh God, and to be able to stand firm in knowing that your word is true and that your truth in our lives. So, Lord, I thank you now. I thank you for this body of people. I just ask that you would lead us today. Be with us as we go from this house today. Bring us back Wednesday night, and we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.